verses 41 through 48. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant may in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, who knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that know not, and did not commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him he will ask them more.
If you have your Bible open to that passage, keep it there for just a few moments. There is no way under the sun that I could fill Wayne's shoes. He's a much bigger man than I am. But I can fill the pulpit. I can take his place in preaching. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. It is not only an opportunity, it is always a solemn responsibility as well. I'm glad that Sean got to try this gadget out first. They call it a Countryman. I don't know why. But it's a marvel. The end of it looks about the size of a match head, and yet it picks up sound and does it very clearly and does it very well. Man has made many advances in the scientific realm. Would to God he had made such advances in the spiritual realm. But he's just not that interested. And that's what our lesson is going to deal with. We are stewards of God. I want to read part of that passage again because it contains the key word, the word steward. So let's begin at Luke 12 once more, verse 41, and read just a few of those verses once more. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And he had made reference to the previous parable you'll find in the verses right before this. You have a parable concerning a faithful servant and an evil servant. And then that's followed with this parable. And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise? Notice the word. Who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. What is your concept of the word steward? When you hear that word, what do you think about? I looked into Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged, that's one of these big ones, dictionary, and I found these two definitions. Number one, one who manages another's property or financial affairs. Number two, this one fits better the Bible meaning of the word translated steward. Number two, one who has charge of the household of another, buying or obtaining food, directing the servants, etc. That fits better. The word that is rendered steward in our Bible translations is from a compound Greek word. And by that we mean two words. It is composed of a word meaning house and a word meaning also to manage or to direct. And that's exactly the idea in this passage. In all of the cases where we have reference made to a steward, that steward in the Bible is a bondservant, or a clearer word for that is slave. Quite frequently, men who wrote books of the Bible, Paul in particular, identified themselves as bondservants or slaves of Jesus Christ. Peter did that as well. And of course, the Bible makes it very clear that every Christian is a bondservant of God. We are, in a spiritual sense, God's slaves, and that should not be a put down or an insult. 4 points need to stand out when you consider what a steward was in those days. You have a slave in the house who's put in charge of either the entire household or a portion of the household. And 4 points stand out in that regard. Number one, what he has is not his own. Belongs to another, to his master. Number two, it has been entrusted to him, left in his care for a while. Number three, he is to use it according to his master's will, not his own will. And number four, there will be a day of reckoning, a giving an account. He must be ready for it. The Bible makes it very clear that every Christian is a steward of God. And we want to develop that in our lesson this morning. However, in a general sense, all men are stewards of God. We sing the song, "This is my Father's world," and how true that is. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26, Paul quoting actually a passage from the Old Testament, and we know where it is. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." When preaching about God in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, Paul affirmed that God gives to all life and breath and all things. That's true of you. That's true of me. That's true of every individual. And in verse 28, "In him we live and move and have our being." Back in the Old Testament, in one of the Psalms, this is Psalm 50, it's attributed to a man by the name of Asaph. In fact, many of the Psalms are attributed to him. And someone might respond to that or react to that by saying, "I thought David wrote the Psalms." David wrote about half of the Psalms. The rest of them were written by other men as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. Asaph was one of those. And in the 50th Psalm, I'm reading verses 10 through 12, "For every beast of the forest is mine." These words are attributed to God Himself. "Every beast of the forest is mine." And he goes on to say, "And the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness." Does that sound familiar? That's the passage that Paul was alluding to in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 26. So in that sense, everything belongs to God. "This is not only my Father's world, this is my Father's universe. He owns the earth and all that's in it. He owns our solar system. He owns our galaxy. He owns all of the galaxies. Therefore, he owns the entire universe. He made it all. He sustains it all. Everything in it is his." And in a very special sense, Christians are stewards of God. They are servants, bondservants, who have been entrusted with a number of things. And they are expected to use those things according to God's will, not their will. And there will be a day of reckoning. And we refer to that as the day of judgment, the second coming of Christ. We have two parables that deal expressly with Christians and Christ. And one of them is the parable of the pounds. You'll find this in Luke chapter 19. Verses 12 through 27. You ought to be familiar already with that parable. In that parable, a certain nobleman, we're told, went into a far country to receive a kingdom. Does that sound familiar? Jesus ascended to sit down at the right hand of his Father as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He went there to receive his kingdom. His kingdom is spiritual. It's the reign of Christ in the hearts and lives of men and women here on earth, those who have been forgiven by the precious blood of Christ. And so this nobleman went into the far country to receive a kingdom. But before he went, he called before him 10 bondservants or slaves. He entrusted to each one a pound, a measure of money. He expected each one to apply himself and increase that money. And then he did return, and he called them before him, and this was the day of reckoning. You have a similar parable. We call it the parable of the talents. It's in Matthew chapter 25. You'll find it in Matthew 25 in verses 14 through 30. In this particular case, we're told that a certain man went into a far country, but before he did, he called his servants before him, their bondservants, and we're told that he entrusted 5 talents, another measure of money, much larger than the pound referred to in the other parable. He entrusted to one 5, to another 2, to another 1. And what did he expect them to do? To apply themselves, use their ability, their opportunity, increase the amount of money that was placed in their care. He did return. He did call them to answer. Now, what is this all about? Well, the nobleman that went away to receive a kingdom, the man who went off into another country, represents the Son of God. And the bondservants entrusted with measures of money represent you and me as Christians. So we're in those parables. We are stewards in those parables. The word steward is applied in many ways in the New Testament. In a very special sense, it's applied to inspired teachers. I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And in the verses prior to this, Paul had referred to himself, to Apollos, and to Cephas or Peter. And he said, "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God." The mysteries of God would be the gospel. And the gospel had been entrusted to those men. In a sense, the gospel is entrusted to us. And we sing a song about that, "Into Our Hands." The gospel is given. We know then that the word steward is applied in a special sense to those who are teaching the word of God. And especially to men like Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or Peter. The word steward is also applied to bishops, overseers, or elders. In Titus chapter 1, verse 7, "For the overseer or the bishop must be blameless as" what? "God's steward." Something has been entrusted to elders, and it's something precious and important. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 3, Peter says of himself, identifying himself as a fellow elder, writing to elders, he says, "Neither as lording it over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves examples to the flock." The New King James says, "to those entrusted to you." He's talking about the members of a congregation. He's talking about the sheep in the flock. These have been entrusted to the care of the elders or the overseers, the bishops, the pastors, the shepherds. And there will be a reckoning. Look at verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 5. "When the chief shepherd shall appear." And so there's going to be a day of judgment in regard to those who have been entrusted to the care of a flock and the members of a congregation. It's applied then to inspired teachers. It is applied to bishops or elders, overseers. And it's applied to believers in general. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 10, Peter was writing especially to Hebrew or Jewish Christians. At the beginning of the letter, he identifies the areas where they lived. And he lists 5 Roman provinces, all in the region of Asia Minor. And he says in chapter 4 and verse 10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And the Bible makes it very clear that we are bondservants. If we're Christians, if we've been forgiven, if we have been saved, we are bondservants. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or know ye not that your body, your physical body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price. And all of us know that price. The precious blood of God's Son as He died on the cross, which death we just a moment ago memorialized, we remembered. In addition to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we might call your attention to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants to obedience, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We are slaves who have chosen our masters. And someone might be ready to say, well, you can excuse me from that. I'm not a part of that. Well, you are a part of it, whether you want to be or not. You make a choice. And we're all bondservants. We're all slaves of either Christ or Satan, one or the other. And Paul makes it very clear that we make the choice, and it's either one or the other, Romans 6 and verse 16. Our stewardship consists of not only our physical bodies, and there in the passage in 1 Corinthians 6, 20, I believe the New King James says, glorify God therefore in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies belong to God. Our spirits belong to God. So we've been entrusted to those. But furthermore, we've been entrusted with time. We've been entrusted with abilities. We have been entrusted with possessions, and we have been entrusted with the precious Word of God, and that's what I want to talk about from here on in the lesson. Number one, as stewards of God, we are entrusted with time. What is time? Time is that measure between two eternities. There was forever and ever in the past, and there will be forever and ever in the future, and from the beginning of creation to the second coming of Christ, we call it time. Time. Every life is measured in time. Psalm 90 and verse 10, it's attributed to Moses, which is interesting. They must have preserved it for a long time. For the days of our years are 80, a score is 20. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, that's 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80 years. That's 80. I'm very fortunate. I'm living on bonus time. I have passed that 80. I passed it more than 5 years ago. But notice that he's talking about time. He's measuring life by time. To give a portion of your time is to give a portion of your life. Do you ever think about it that way? Anytime you give some of your time to someone else, you are giving them a portion of your life. For your life is time. As long as you have time, you have life. James chapter 4 and verse 14 asks the question, for what is your life? For ye are a vapor that appeareth for a little what? A little time. Time is life. And how brief that life is. Again, look at James 4:14. What is your life? For ye are a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. And so how brief is life in view of the fact that God's Word compares it to a vapor of all things. Job, however, in Job chapter 7 and verse 6 said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. You know anything about weaving? You know what the shuttle is? Contains the thread. And of course, in the hand of the weaver, it expends its load and seems to move more and more rapidly. If you want to spell out the same amount of thread as you work, then you have to be able to work faster and faster because the load becomes smaller and smaller until the shuttle is empty. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. He said in chapter 9 and verse 25, now my days are swifter than a post. And he's talking about a messenger or a runner. Remember, we call the man who delivers the mail the postman. My days are swifter than a post. Look at verse 26 of chapter 9. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that swoopeth upon the prey. Chapter 14 of Job. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And then we might go to the New Testament, where we have a statement made by the Apostle Peter. And he says that all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16, Paul writes this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. He doesn't say it, but he's referring to the brevity of life. The brevity of life. Use your time while you have opportunity. Redeem the time, another translation says. We've already wasted time, everyone. Every time we commit sin, we're wasting time. Every time we fail to put spiritual things first, to put the emphasis where God has put it, we are wasting time. And so the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. So our time must be used wisely because it's God's time. It's been entrusted to us, and it's very brief. In Job chapter 12 and verse 10, Job, referring to God, said, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Do you think of your life in that way? As you wake in the morning, do you view that day in that way? Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. It's an interesting chapter. It tells of the fall of the great Babylonian Empire. Belshazzar, the son of the final king, was ruling there at Babylon. His father wasn't interested in staying home. He preferred to do something else. And so Belshazzar has a great feast for all of his princes and noblemen. It lasts several days. They do a lot of drinking. They eat, but they drink. And finally he calls for the vessels of gold that had been taken from the temple at Jerusalem by his ancestor, Nebuchadnezzar. The purpose is to drink wine from those vessels of gold, but to drink them in honor of their false gods, to celebrate idols. And that's too much for God. That's when the fingers of a hand appear and write words on the wall, which none of his wise men could interpret, so Daniel was summoned. Remember, we learned that he could do that back in the second chapter for Nebuchadnezzar. And he gave the interpretation, and basically it meant, this is the end. This is the end. This night, your city is going to fall, and you're going to die. And it did, at the hands of the Medes and Persians. And in talking to him, after he explains the dream or the writing on the wall, Daniel says this in chapter 5, verse 23 to Belshazzar, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. He died that night. He was slain that night. Does it make any difference how we spend our time? Oh, yes, it does. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And Paul sheds some more light on that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we shall all, and the King James says appear, the word is stronger than that. We shall all be made manifest, the American Standard. And so the idea is made to appear as we are. If you don't understand that, then let me explain. When the judgment comes, the entire record of the life we have lived, of the kind of stewards we have been, of the use we have made of those things entrusted to us, will be brought to light. And then we shall receive the things done in the body, according to what we've done, whether it be good or bad, Paul goes on to write in that passage. Quite frequently we will say in regard to spiritual things, well, I just didn't have the time, or I don't have the time. Well, we all have the same amount of time, and I'm not talking about the length of life, I'm talking about the measure of each day that we live. Each moment, each hour, each day, each year is exactly the same for every individual. You have just as much time as I do. I have just as much time as you do each day. Think of it that way. Out of the 168 hours in a week, how many of those do you use in spiritual pursuits? Reading your Bible, praying, meditating on God's Word, helping others in need, trying to teach the truth to others, worshiping God, assembling with the saints. How many of those hours do you use? How many of them do you use for yourself? The time will come that we will give an account. And so I ask you the question, would you and would I be ready to answer to God for the use we have been making of our time? We're also entrusted with abilities or capabilities or potential. And our responsibility in every realm is determined by ability and opportunity. We've said that over and over and over. You're not expected to do what you do not have the ability to do, and you're not expected to do what you do not have the opportunity to do. And we're talking about ability or abilities just now. Does it matter how we use our abilities? Well, look at Luke 12 and verse 48. That was part of the longer reading that Gerald very capably read this morning. It says, "And to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more." The more you have, the more ability you have, the greater your responsibility. That's the idea of the passage. And remember the wording of Matthew 25:15, the parable of the talents. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. And notice the end of that verse, to each according to his several ability. What have you done, and what are you doing with your abilities? Let's think about that in regard to other realms. What have you done? What are you doing with your abilities, for example, in the realm of secular education? Did you graduate from high school? Wonder how many here have a high school diploma, a high school education. Did you go to college? Did you get a diploma there? Do you have a degree? Have you gone to a tech school? Have you gone to some sort of vocational training? It's amazing what people can do when they put their mind to it. I knew a teenager who, pardon me, I knew a teenager. He was in high school, and at that time, he didn't know that a tire on an automobile had to have a valve stem. And so there was a young woman that the church was trying to help, staying temporarily at their house. She was from Sri Lanka. And she had had new tires put on this old used automobile we secured for her. And I had told her to be sure to check the tire pressure frequently. So now she's got the new tires and she goes out to check them and she can't find the valve stem. Well, it had one of these big plastic hubcaps they'd put back on, and you can guess what happened. So he calls me. He says, Brother Cruz, these tires don't have a valve stem. That teenage boy made a heart surgeon. Shows what you can do when you put your mind to it. He wasn't interested in automobiles. He wasn't interested in mechanical things. But he was interested in the medical field. And he had many other interests too. He was a brilliant young man. It shows what you can do if you put your mind to it. And many of us here have proved that. You're not where you used to be. You've made progress. So what have you done with your abilities in regard to your secular education, in regard to your secular job, in regard to your standing in the community, civic opportunities or civic responsibilities? It's amazing how far man can go when he sets his mind to it. But the question that really counts is, what sort of progress have you made in the spiritual realm? Have you put your mind to that? Have you really tested your abilities? Have you extended yourself? Have you tested your faith? We have some new converts and we see them growing, and that's encouraging. And we want you to grow as rapidly as you can. We want you to continue in that. May God bless you in that. But what about all of us? Have you been a Christian for many, many years? How much growing have you done? What about your abilities in that realm? You know, we hate to waste our abilities in other realms. We don't like that at all. When we're engaged in secular pursuits, we do not want to waste our abilities. We want to benefit from them to the greatest extent possible. We want to apply ourselves. Sometimes we feel like our abilities are not being utilized in a secular job. Do you feel like you're being paid sufficiently in your job? I've heard more people complain about their salary. They feel like they're not being paid what they deserve, and they're not being paid adequately for the amount of effort they put forth in their job. So we do not want to waste our abilities in those realms, but the application in this lesson is, how do we feel about wasting our abilities in the spiritual realm? In many cases, they're hardly tested. We prove what we can do in the things that we are interested in. How interested are we in spiritual things? Would you be ready now to answer to God for the use you have made of the abilities entrusted to you? We have also been entrusted with possessions. What would we have were it not for God? And the answer is nothing. We owe Him our very existence. We start out in life in debt to God, a debt that we'll never pay back. He doesn't expect us to, but He does expect us to show some gratitude and to make some application and to be a faithful steward. In Acts 17:25, once more, the Bible says He gives to all life and breath, and all things. Everything I have ever had, He made possible. He gave. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from where? From above. Now sometimes we become so focused on our efforts, our personal efforts, how hard we have worked, how hard we have studied, how much we have accomplished, that we forget about the fact that God made it all possible. that everything we have, including our very lives, our bodies, our spirits, are entrusted to us by God. He's the source. And therefore, we need to give Him the credit. One of the first words that a little child learns is the word mine. You ever heard that from one of yours? Mine. That's mine. And unfortunately, that carries over too often into adulthood. And we have this attitude of mine. We want to show people what we have accumulated, what we have acquired, what we have earned, and how hard it was, and how much effort that we put forth, how hard we worked for that. But do not leave God out of that picture. You remember that Jacob made it very clear back in Genesis 32 about verse 10 that he was unworthy of the least of all the blessings that God had given him. And that should be a part of the prayer of every Christian. We should thank God for our blessings. We should list many of those blessings. And we should also confess to God that we realize we're unworthy of the least of those. Those possessions have been entrusted to us as stewards. Now, our primary aim in life should not be to accumulate as much as we possibly can. Once in a while, we hear about someone who has an addiction, they call it. They have filled their house with things they have bought that they will never use. Maybe several items of the same piece of equipment or article, whatever it might be. And they just keep buying. And after a while, the house is so crowded, you can hardly walk through it. Well, that's not our purpose in life at all. Remember the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12? He had a problem a lot of people would love to have. He had an abundant harvest. He had no more room to store his crops. And so he had a solution. This I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my grain and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. Does the parable end there? No. Jesus went on to say, but God said, thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast acquired, whose shall they be? This man that died, how much did he leave behind? And the answer always is, all of it. It doesn't matter about the amount. Every bit of it, all of it. Our aim in life, our purpose in life, should not be to acquire, to accumulate, to obtain as much as we possibly can, like the rich fool of that parable. And you might remember that Jesus introduced the parable by saying, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And that's verse 15 of Luke chapter 12. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. That's close to our text. Luke chapter 16, I want to read verses 10 through 12 of that chapter. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. What's the point? Well, test anyone. And if they can be entrusted with a small amount and be faithful in that, then the indication is that if they were entrusted with more, they would be faithful in that. And the point that Jesus is going to make is that in this life, if we will be faithful in those things that have been entrusted to us, God will give us much more than that in eternity, beginning in the day of reckoning. Now the reading goes on. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's money, possessions, things, who will commit to your trust the true riches? That's eternal life in heaven. That's all the blessings of heaven. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's or another man's, and that's true of everything a Christian has, belongs to the Lord, Then he goes on to say, who will give you what is your own? When you get to heaven, you can say, this is mine. This is mine. What I had in life was not mine. It was entrusted to me. But in heaven, I will be given true riches. I will be given that which has become mine. And it will be then forever and ever. So our primary aim in life is not to accumulate as much as we possibly can. Our purpose in life is also not to waste our substance in riotous living. Do you recognize that? That's in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. In verse 13, we're told that not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance in riotous living. That's the other extreme. We're not to do that. What are we to do? We are to be grateful for what God has entrusted. We are to express our gratitude, show our gratitude. We are to use it according to His will, not our will. We are to use it in such a way as to always be ready to give an account of that which has been entrusted to us. Whenever we help another who is in need, it might be with our time, might be with our possessions, might be with our money. When we help another who is in need, when we give of our means on the first day of the week, what is our view of what we are giving? Do we look at it from this standpoint? Everything I have is mine. But God wants me to give part of it, so I'll give part of it to Him. Or is it the other way? Everything I possess is God's. And I will try to use some of that wisely for myself. But the rest, I will give to God. David, whenever he and the princes of Israel were giving of their possessions, in particular it was silver and gold, things of value, for the construction of the temple, he was gathering the material. David, in his prayer unto God, said, of thine own, that's God's, have we given unto thee. Is that our attitude when we give on the first day of the week? It's all God's, and so of what belongs to God, I've given back to Him. That should be the attitude. Would you be ready today to give an account of what you have done with your possessions, an account unto God? So there's your time, your abilities, and your possessions, but there's just one more, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God has also been entrusted to Christians. Would you be ready today to give an account of what you have done with the Word of God? In the first place, it is accessible to all. In this country, certainly. It is freely accessible to all. Our first responsibility is to embrace it, to learn it as best we can, and then to live by it. And after we have embraced it, we also have the responsibility to teach it to others. We're saved that we might help save others. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter says we are to be as newborn babes who long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, or the spiritual milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby unto salvation. We're told to grow in grace and knowledge, and that's the knowledge of God's will in 2 Peter 3:18. And in Colossians 3:16, we are commanded, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that's only possible by study, by meditation, by learning. We have to read the Word of God before we're going to grow in our knowledge of the Word of God, before it's going to fill our hearts. We're going to answer for the opportunities we've had to learn God's Word. We're also going to answer for the opportunities we've been given to teach others. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul says to Timothy, "And the things which thou hast received from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." In Hebrews 5 and verse 12, "For when by reason of the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God." Why was it that those people were not teaching others? Because they were not able. Why were they not able? Because they had forgotten even the first principles. And Sean in the Bible class dealt with that, because Hebrews deals with that. The first principles of God's Word. They had forgotten them. They needed to be taught again. Isn't it sad that in the world there are many Christians who not only have not grown spiritually, who not only are not teaching others at all, but they have forgotten the first principles and need to be taught those again. And what was the problem? Verse 11, Hebrews 5, "They had become dull of hearing." And so we are entrusted with the Word of God. We're surrounded by soil, and we possess the seed. So what are we doing with that seed? Would you be ready today to give an account for what you have done with the Word of God which has been entrusted to you? So we've talked about your time, your abilities, your possessions, the Word of God. Would you be ready today? Would you be ready now to give an account for the use you have made of those things? Before I close, I want to tell you a story. There was a man who was a Christian, or at least he professed to be, and he was considered by others a Christian. He was regular in his attendance at church services. Well, fairly regular, let me add to that. And he came up with a terminal illness, and the preacher in that congregation was visiting with him in the hospital. And he said, "You know that you have been told that you do not have long to live. This illness is terminal. Do you have any regrets about the life that you have lived?" And he thought for a while, and then he responded, "Yes, I have. I've given a lot of thought to that. If I had my life to live over, I believe that I would not have been as regular in my attendance at church services as I was. I believe that I would not have spent as much time reading my Bible as I did. I believe I would not have tried to convert as many people as I did, tried to at least talk to them about the Bible. I believe I would not have gotten down on my knees and prayed as much as I did. I believe I would not have helped as many people in need as I helped. And by now, I hope you know I've made that all up, because that would not happen. But the reverse does frequently, and it should not. Many Christians come to die, and they have regrets looking back over their lives about all of the things they could have done and should have done and didn't do. And let that not be me. Let that not be you. The invitation is yours. In the gospel of Christ, all men are invited to become Christians, to be saved from their sins. All Christians who have gone astray, who have fallen into neglect or indifference, are called to come back and be restored. If that's you, we hope that you will respond to the invitation. If you're not a Christian, you would not be ready at all to give an account of those things God has entrusted to you. But you could change that by accepting His offer to be forgiven of your sins, to start anew. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, if you believe that God is, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then if you believe that with all of your heart, you'd act upon that faith, and you are required to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Christ without fear or shame, and to, in all humility, obey His simple command to be baptized in water. And then, as a new creature, to walk in newness of life. And from that time on, to be a faithful steward of what's entrusted to you. And if you have started that journey, but you've gone astray, you've gone aside, you can start again, because you have time and opportunity if you will repent, confess to God, ask His forgiveness. It will be extended. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ given in the gospel, won't you come this morning as we stand and while we sing?